Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Their ears are burning. The ears of the chief priests and Pharisees, their ears are burning again. Their ears are burning again because he's talking about them again. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And he does that, you know, Jesus, he does that. Tells parables directed at them, causing their ears to burn. And he's doing it on purpose. He knows what he's doing. He wants to set not only their ears, but their hearts on fire. He wants to convict them of their sin. So he tells stories like this one to preach the law. And when confronted with the law, we can either acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, receive absolution for our sin. They went in the other direction. In fact, they wanted to arrest him, throw him in jail, but they feared the crowds. They had that power, you know. I don't have the power to throw anybody into jail, nor does our or any other district president have the power to throw anybody into jail. Not even Matt Harrison, not even the Pope, except in Vatican City. But religious leaders at the time of Jesus did have that power. Later on, Saul would use it against the first Christians they could, but here they didn't throw Jesus into jail for fear of the crowds because they, the crowds, held him, Jesus, to be a prophet. That was them, the crowds. But the religious leaders, different story. So it looks like some of you got away from the corn to cut some beans last week. When it's time, it's time. And I love the smell of corn drying in the morning. My chestnut harvest this year, it lasted about a week. And we shared. We shared our chestnuts. When God created the nuts like chestnuts, he made them to emit an odor. You can't smell them, but he put an app in the squirrels that smells that odor. So we got enough to last us, and we shared with the squirrels, and it looks like this year the deer got in on it. I guess the Italians feed chestnuts to their pigs. Makes for better pork. So, there are a lot of chestnut finished squirrels and deer running around in northeast Mercer County, and I think they may eat corn as well. And the Italians up in Tuscany grow grapes, and they make it into Chianti wine. Grape harvest is actually winding down in places like Tuscany, in California, in Israel, and in Iowa, where grapes have been around for a long time. You just can't see it because of all the corn. But in 1899, Iowa was ranked 11th in grape production in America. And now there are almost 100 wineries in Iowa, over 250 vineyards in Iowa, producing approaching 400,000 gallons of wine every year. Israel has a lot more vineyards, produces a lot more wine. And their vineyards have been there. When Jesus talked to this about this man and his vineyard, he was speaking their language. They were very familiar with the workings of the vineyard. And he tells them a story about a vineyard. Jesus did not invent the story. The story has been around for a long time. And the true story of God and man begins with, in the beginning. And much of the rest of the Bible is the true story of man's fall into sin, God's promise of a Savior from that sin. Wait for it. Wait for it. Much of the Old Testament is also preaching from various prophets, and sometimes they wrote it down. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote down the true story of Jesus of Nazareth. The story's been there around a long time, including in the Bible. I read Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath quite a while ago. And several years later, I remembered it was a good read. So I read it again. And I found out that I pretty much got it, the first reading. And there will be no third reading. Nonfiction, it's kind of the same thing. I read an article this week advocating that you hold on to your books. Keep the good ones. Keep rereading them. Not feeling it. Not feeling it. And I've sold hundreds, maybe 1,000 books or more on Amazon. But I'm keeping my Bible. And I'm keeping my BibleHub.com. And I go through the catechism every year and occasionally reference the Book of Concord. I have read all of it. It's the time in the lectionary to read the parables of Jesus. Jesus did not invent the story. He did not invent the parable. But Jesus certainly made the parable into a thing by taking it to another level. Aesop, the Grimm brothers, the ancient Greeks, their stories are kind of one-note ditties. Parables of Jesus are Mozart. The stories, the parables of Jesus are in a different category, and every time you read them, something new. I learned something new, and the rest of the Bible's like that too. So we heard his first parable this round on the 7th Sunday after Pentecost. This is the 19th. We heard that on July 16, almost 3 months ago. And you heard his disciples ask him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And when they asked him that, it was not that they were unfamiliar with the concept. In fact, several hundreds of years previous, God had told Isaiah to tell a story during his preaching, a story about a vineyard, about God's vineyard, about God's vineyard that was overrun with weeds and wild grapes. How does that happen? How does that happen? How does your vineyard get overrun by weeds? How's that happen? Did you know that there used to be several onion districts in Iowa, including the Pleasant Valley Onion District? There's an aluminum factory there now. In 1856, the Germans came up from St. Louis and planted onions over there. And their onions got overrun by weeds. How does that happen? How does that happen? The next season, they didn't plant any onions, but they spent the summer pulling weeds. Go ahead and get rid of the weeds and get ahead of them. Then they planted onions, able to keep up with them. If you don't do anything to your garden, what's going to happen? If you don't do anything, I noticed that the vegetation out on the farm is closer to my driveway than it was 16, 18 years ago. One spot I can hardly get the mower through. I think one of the neighbors has a machine that cuts that back. If you don't do anything, the weeds, the hedge will take over and overgrow Isaiah's vineyard, Isaiah says. Because they have been taken over by the weeds, God says. Israel, because they've been taken over by the weeds, is not producing the fruit like they should be, like he intended them to. They are not acting like his chosen people, set aside for him for his holy purpose. They have largely given up worship of him, often for the pagan gods. Their itching ears have listened to the voice of the false prophets who are legion and shut out the voice of the few who speak for God. And because they are fruitless, God says through Isaiah, I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. Birds, briars, and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and all the men of Judah are his pleasant planting, and they've been taken over by the weeds. They've been taken over by the weeds, and what do you have to do? So why does he tell parables? He says he tells parables because to you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Christians can and do understand parables about the kingdom of heaven. They're parables about our religion, the parables of the about the kingdom of heaven. If you aren't a Christian, if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, if you don't know that salvation comes as a free gift of God in Christ, then you don't get those parables about the kingdom of God, about our religion. Mystery, secret, things that they don't know, but Christians can and do know. The non-Christian doesn't know those secrets, those mysteries, and they're not able to know. From Jesus, even. It's like when I hear two people talking about high-performance engines. They know what they're talking about, but I don't. Doctors talking to doctors. I have not yet been to medical school, and those articles in the Journal of American Medicine are mostly Greek to me. That's what he says about parables about the kingdom of heaven. You Christians can understand, but it's Greek to them. On the other hand, parables of judgment, like today, that message comes through to them wall to wall. They do understand. And they understand that he's talking about them, and they do not like it. Not at all. Fig tree. They didn't care much for that. The two sons. Not interested in that. The man in the story has developed this land. He planted a vineyard. Vineyard's perennial, last 100 years or more. He put a fence around it, maybe of stone because that was abundant and durable. You see them in Kansas. Around here, maybe hedge poles and barbed wire when we used to make fences. Maybe it was an actual row of hedge bushes, the kind with stickers that keep me out, to keep out the pigs and other wild animals, coons, possum, our dog eats grapes, and the humans. Like those 100 vineyards in Iowa, this man built a wine press to squish the juice out of the grapes. We dehydrate the rest and powder it. They probably fed it to their animals. And then he built a tower so you could see what's going on both inside the fence and outside the fence. Yard, pit, leg, ewe troughs, spouts, bins, dryers. He had improved the land, and then he leased it out to tenants. When Jesus began to first talk in this parable about the man who planted a vineyard, their ears must have pricked up. We've heard this story before, they're thinking. Was it Isaiah? Was Isaiah talking about us? But you know, it's one thing to passively allow weeds to take over God's vineyard, Judah, It's another thing to do what these men are already actively plotting to do. The story ends with the renters killing the winemaker's son, and they knew it was about them. What he says next also sounded familiar, Psalm 118, about the stone rejected by the builders. He was the stone that they rejected, of Jesus the cornerstone, on whom alone we build. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of heaven, he says to them, will be taken from you and given to a nation producing the fruit of it. And they knew. They knew that that kingdom of theirs was being ripped from them, and for a just cause. They knew themselves to be the miserable wretches. They knew he was talking about them. Their ears burned, and their anger burned even hotter. When confronted with the law, like they were here, we can either acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, receive absolution for our sin. They went in the other direction. They hated him for saying what he said. They wanted to throw him into jail, but they feared the crowds. They feared the crowds. And what's going to happen to them? He will put those miserable wretches to death and lease out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation producing the fruits of it. And that's where we come into the story. The church is God's vineyard today, and Christ is the cornerstone of the building. On him alone we build. This parable of the law that proclaims the justice of God in doing what he did can be seen as a cautionary tale for Christians. A cautionary tale. What do you have to do so that this vineyard gets overrun with weeds? What do you have to do? Nothing. Just be distracted by other things. Neglect God's church. We see people trying to take over the church of God. Weeds making it into their own, turning a deaf ear to his messengers. We see that all the time, don't we? Nothing new there. Follow the false prophets who are more numerous. And there's more than one way to skin a cat. And you can kill or destroy the Son, Jesus, by simply removing him from the equation. Simply remove the crosses, remove the sacraments where he comes to us, remove the word where he speaks to us, and replace it with people who, Paul tells Timothy, will cater to itching ears, telling them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Paul also says, having the form of religion, but denying the power of it, that is, the word and sacrament. Yeah, this parable today should be seen by us as a cautionary tale for we who work in God's vineyard. You have heard it said that Christianity answers the basic questions of life. How did we get here? We were created by a loving God, and we are his highest creation, and he loves us very much. Where are we going after this? When we die, we will be immediately transported to paradise in heaven. What are we doing here while we wait for that? Working in his vineyard, as he gave us to work in his vineyard. All of us, working in our various vocations, serving God and serving our fellow man. That's what we do while we're waiting. Planting, growing, and harvesting God's fruit from God's earth so that people can eat. Teaching the young people so that they can learn. Parenting children who need to be parented. Praying. Caring for the unborn, the young, the elderly, the needy. Giving them food, clothing, and all that they need to support their bodies and lives. Doing acts of Christian mercy. Making the world a better place. We are salt. And here, doing word and sacrament, and we are doing it correctly here. So while we're waiting, all of us in our various vocations, not sitting idle, but working in the vineyard. That's what we're doing here while we are waiting, looking forward to going to that place where we're going. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.